Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to leap into our perception of life, of ourselves, reality, and expand it. It's expanding anyway, but we're going to catch up with it. Let's put it that way. And to help us do that is a wonderful guest who has written a new book called Leap of Perception. And I'm speaking with Penny Pierce. Penny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Peter. It's really great to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to talk with you. Your previous books were wonderful. You have a huge audience out there. I was teaching a class just the other night, and I told them I was going to be interviewing you, and two students got excited, and they said, oh, that's how we met. We're both Penny Pierce fans, and we found each other at some event.
That's funny.
So your reputation is very strong, and I'm so happy to speak with you. I love your book, and I love what you have to say and how you say it, so we're going to climb into the heart of the matter.
Yes, it's a deep dive.
It is, and we're all getting deeper anyway, so let's learn about what we're getting deep into. And so you talk about this new age, and you've named it.
Yeah, I sort of followed a logical progression from the industrial age to the information age, you know, and the whole idea that the industrial age was very physical and mechanical, had machines, right? And kind of slow, but it was related to body. And then that accelerated into the information age, which is pretty fast. And we got computers, and then we got internet, and that accelerated until really we just can't even process the data anymore with our old way of perceiving. And the new leap, I think, is going to be into something I was just calling the intuition age that'll be more based on the way spirit works, or the inner world of energy and consciousness.
And this is a guidebook of spirit. This is a guidebook on how to use this deeper dive that we're in to take more advantage of it.
Yes. You know, I realized after I finished writing this book that it was really a trilogy that went with my previous book, which is Frequency, and then The Intuitive Way, which was my first book, which is A Course on Intuition Development. This one is really about how perception itself is changing, you know, from a linear, I call it an underlying geometry of perception, a linear geometry, to something that's spherical and holographic, that's so new that it's very hard to even understand it when you're in the linear reality.
Right.
It's like you're living in a plane or a piece of paper and you try to understand a cube. You know, it's like, wow, how will that look? But what I wanted to do is try and describe that new reality and how to get there and how to contrast it with the old perception.
Right. And
so that we can make that transition.
And things are speeding up so fast that our old perceptions aren't keeping up with us.
That's it.
Life is getting ahead of us in many ways, and we're trying to keep up with it, and we need to change the way that we experience it.
You know, when you think about moving into this new kind of perception, it's kind of like with linear, it's all pinned down, cause and effect. We're on timelines and the shortest distance between two points, and even plot lines and storylines, and everything we tell a story, it's on a line, beginning, middle, and end. But the new way is almost, I would call it more about direct knowing, more right brain kind of perception rather than left brain, where you sort of know everything at once as like little dots lighting up inside of you and making everything suddenly resonate, and you have impressions. It's going to be understanding directly from the field, the unified field of consciousness and energy, and
right,
through impressions, through telepathy, through, I call it direct knowing, which is, I think, a higher version of intuition.
It feels to me like we're looking at something, for instance, we do a search on the internet, and instead of a linear result, we get perhaps 100,000 results in a second.
Exactly. That's a great example. Yeah.
And so our mind has to be able to call through that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. What if you could get all those hits in your body all at once and know it all immediately?
Right.
Rather than having to linearly, in time, call through it. That's the difference.
Right. And when I teach intuition, I often tell people that we don't get intuition in a linear fashion. Often we get linear fashion as a knowing. And all of a sudden we realize something, and then we have to break it down into a way to disseminate it.
Yes. And I think because the energy on the planet is increasing so much, the frequency, the vibration, you know, it's actually higher, that it's a lot easier now to have things like telepathy, like precognition, and things that used to be supernatural or out of reach or on the other side of the reality we were living in, you know, suddenly it's all here, and there's a sense of that immediate knowing of something. Even that it doesn't take, you know, steps A, B, and C for it to happen anymore. It just happens immediately without even a cause in time and space.
It's amazing that life is so magical. It's so full of synchronicity and serendipity that we should keep taking notes just to keep remembering how much we can trust that.
You're right. It's part of the shift is getting bored with the old reality where everything has difficulty and it feels like a struggle and the left brain is telling us how we can't do things and how hard it's going to be and looking into the past to get ideas about the present and getting so bored with that we just like, oh man, this is antiquated, it's like a dinosaur thinking and I'm just not into it. And instead, being in the present moment and allowing things to just kind of light up in your aura and suddenly materialize out of the aura.
Right.
You're not attracting it from anywhere because there's no outside world.
Well, as important as this is, it's not a simple way to transform ourselves into this because it takes some getting used to. And our survival mechanisms are so used to worrying about the details.
Yes.
That we have to, in a sense, talk our way out of that kind of worry.
Well, first of all, you have to recognize the old reality and how it works, and then realize that you're bored with it and that you prefer something else. Then you have to get a sense of what that new thing is. Then, of course, your subconscious mind and everybody else's reality is going to keep reminding you of the old way and say, hey, this is the right way. Remember, this is the way we've always done it. So aren't you going to play the game? And then you have to remember to hold your own reality and say, no, I don't think I'll do that anymore. I think I'm going to do it this way now.
And yet,
you have to almost be a thought leader now. You know, people have to take responsibility for changing things on their own without everybody else agreeing with them first.
Well, we can also get conditioned by reading your book. I think it's important for us to have tools to fall back on to remind ourselves the details of how to be bigger in this new world.
Right, and I think it's important to understand that there are pathways, there are processes. Things do go through a kind of a developmental process in this linear reality.
Right.
In the other reality, in the non-physical, it's already here.
I was just going to say, it's all there.
Yeah.
We don't have to get there. We just have to get rid of where we've been.
That's it. Exactly. I call it the wet blankets that have been thrown on top of us, you know, or the clutter.
Right.
We're already fine. We remember everything. You know, and people always have that draw toward joy and compassion and ease because it's where we come from.
Right.
It's not abnormal. It's the real reality. It's the suffering that's the abnormal one.
And we have to watch our old language, the old thought processes. And you talk about that in the book of seeing how we've limited ourselves in the way we speak and the way we even look.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look in the new way. And you talk about how to see the universal mind and everything, the universal heart in all, the unified field.
Yeah, and that brings me to the kind of the subtitle of the book, you know, which is The Transforming Power of Your Attention.
Right.
Because I started hearing that word and it was like banging on me, you know, and it was like, wow, attention, attention. And I realized that attention is going to be the most powerful force for getting us into the transformation and keeping us there.
Right.
Because when you place attention on things, anything, you connect with it. And when you connect with it that way, without pushing on it, and just instead being with it by attending to it, it starts revealing itself to you. You go further and further in the longer you pay attention, and pretty soon you merge with it.
Right.
And then you know the world from that point of view. It could be your coffee cup, but it's got energy in it. It's got consciousness in it, forming itself into a coffee cup for you, you know.
Right, and we're part of the formation of it into a coffee cup.
Yeah, and then you find the self in there. You find the great soul in everything when you look at it really truly and take some time with it and be with it. But, of course, we're fragmented today with all of our technology, and I think perhaps there will be a backlash against that because we're going to have to drop in deeper into our own abilities rather than thinking that the iPhone's going to do it for you or something, you know.
Well, we're holding on to so much. And I'm going to jump to the back of your book, and then we can come back forward again, because you have a whole chapter about pretend dying.
Yes,
and
practice pretend dying.
I thought that was a genius idea because it has to do with release.
Yes, the whole idea is really that I think we're going through the kind of changes right now, while we're alive, that most people used to go through when they died. You know, the whole release, the sense of processing your life, the sense of understanding that the physical and non-physical realms are just frequencies, that there's no actual other world. So many of these things that we're going to get now, so that the line between dimensions is going to be erased. That means we'll have more contact with people who have died. The souls are still there. They're just at a different frequency. And
right.
When it comes time for us to actually die, you know, what will that be like? It might be really different.
Well, you already saw that when you became a ball of light.
Yes. I had that spontaneous experience where I just kind of, every other breath, I dissolved out of the physical world and went into this non-physical, and I just was sitting there as a ball of light floating in space. And then I'd come back, and my body would show back up again, and then it'd go back to the other one. And I was thinking, wow, this is kind of like what happens when you die. You're just still here, but you're in this other form. And it was like nothing, you know, it was like normal. And I think that's kind of what we're going to get to. But we do have to start practicing. I call up the new attention skills that are going to be part of the new, you know, reality.
Well, it seems to me there are two things going on here. One is to see ourselves as more of a ball of light than in the limitations of our linear creation. And the other is to allow that ball of light that we are to flow.
Yes.
And so you talk a lot about flow in your book, and there's a word that you use that I thought was great. It's synchromesh.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think the ball of light is really the part of the new reality, and that's the spherical part of the spherical holographic perception. When you realize that really you are a ball of light, you're sitting in the center of it, and that ball is your reality, and it is your conscious mind, and it is the present moment, and it can expand and contract. If you think of higher frequency things, it expands immediately. If you are more focused on, like, changing a watch battery, it's going to contract down to that very physical act. And it's constantly moving throughout the day and night when you dream. But the idea here is that there is nothing beyond the ball. There is no outside world. That the minute you have the thought of something more, it's already in the ball. It always has been.
So we are creating, we're creating our own reality, and our own reality is held within the sphere.
Yes, and there's nothing beyond the sphere.
Right, because everything is what we create from our reality.
So the sphere really is the whole unified field.
Right.
But you can focus on whatever you want with your attention and create a reality out of that totality of the huge field, you know.
Right, and that's what I like about this spherical holographic that you talk about, because within the sphere of our creation is the entire hologram of the universe.
That's right. And holograms really are about every single tiny piece contains the whole thing.
Right.
So that we contain the whole super hologram of the universe, but we also could go into the energy of a tree. We could merge with it and know the universe from that point of view, and then that contains the whole of the universe.
Well, I also identify it when I use my intuition, and I can go back in time, even centuries or thousands of years, and pick up data. I can go forward in time, and I can go anywhere. So I can look at somebody's energy. I might be on the phone with someone in Brazil, and they have a relative in India, and they want me to tell them how that relative is doing. I don't have to travel to India. They're in this holographic field, and so that information is present with me. All I have to do is ask for it, and it's given.
Each of those things is like a little bubble within the great big sphere. You know, and you can just put your attention on it, merge with it, and you're in it, and it's real for you. It's your reality for that moment.
Right.
And then you can change it.
Due to intention.
So that actually, we're not moving forward in time or backward in time, because that's linear.
Mm-hmm.
Again, right? It's just put your attention on any point. It's all about points now.
It's the power of intention. It's so powerful. I love it. Once we understand that our intention can accomplish so much, that it's infinite. So we become infinite.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we are.
That's it.
Right.
And we're both at the same time. You see, that's what's interesting. It's like I am the individual point here as a physical self, and I'm the whole unified field, and I have access to it all, and I include all the other beings in me, and they include me in them. Everybody knows about everybody, and everybody's helping everybody.
Right.
So there's nothing that works against you.
Right.
Unless you define the world as being outside of you and separate from you, and then immediately you have things working against you.
And yet there is a blueprint. There is form that we've created and that we're part of that we should know more about, because that's also where we can experience flow.
Exactly. Right.
So that's very important to understand, because we're not talking about something that becomes too vague. It actually, there is form to this that we can function within, but just not be attached to.
But I think we need to understand flow also. In the old perception way of thinking of flow, it looks like a sine wave kind of moving forward, you know, or backward through time and space. It's on a line. But the new way of thinking about flow from the spherical holographic is that you're a point right now in the center of your ball and physical, and then you kind of blink out and you become the wave, like in physics, particle wave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here, I'm not here. I'm physical, I'm not physical. You know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, constantly rocking and oscillating between the non-physical realm of consciousness and energy at a higher frequency, and then back down here, regular old life, and they're feeding each other. They're creating each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize that the vibration of the physical world right now, because it's increasing so much, it's actually approaching the vibration of the non-physical world. So we're starting to have more bleed-through as they begin merging. And we can start to work very easily back and forth to create whatever we want, to drop things into materialization from the imaginal realm, or to dematerialize things just by taking attention out of them.
And then there's identity that I want to understand within this, because you and I know about the human design system and how that clarifies a certain way that we are. Like, you're a projector in human design, I'm a generator.
Mm-hmm.
And we see life and we work with life through a manifestation that's different from each other, and everybody has their own spark of differentiation. So we're not speaking about blending in and losing those unique characteristics.
Not at all. And yet, when you go out and out and out in frequency and up in frequency, there's such a belonging, a sense of unity and family, really, like soul groups and a feeling of relief, in a way, that you don't have to do it all alone.
Right, we're all
yet,
still
part. At the
part.
Same time, there's this wonderful feeling of being able to do it by yourself. You know, it's the best of both worlds.
Right, we bring our uniqueness to the collective. And that helps the collective grow. But at the same time, because of this perception, we can identify and recognize the collective and experience it directly.
That's right. And they're so simultaneous.
Yes.
You know, and they're so feeding each other constantly. You know, I always think, like, if I get a new idea, where did it come from? It came from us. Everybody wants me to have this idea so I could write this book and give it back to everybody. And I could have fun while I was doing it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I could grow, and then everybody grows.
Sure.
But it made me realize that when we sacrifice ourselves or postpone our self-expression, then other people suffer. It's a form of, you know, adding to the suffering on the planet,
right,
which is very subtle. But I think in the new reality, we're going to have a way different sense of ethics.
And you also talked about how we can get stuck in our blueprint and see it in linear ways that don't support us.
In a way, it's like you're in your moment now, and I hear everybody saying, I feel stuck right now. Because I think everybody's kind of in this doorway between the old reality and the new, and they know something's coming that's going to be really good, but they don't quite know how to get there, and they don't want the old one, and they're just right there ready. What happens when you're in that spot is that the old left brain has its definitions of who you think you are based on the story of your life, of what has happened in the past, and the decisions you've made. And then it projects those ideas into your present moment and even into your future, thinking, well, maybe I'll just do more or better or different from the things that I've already done. But it'll be continuous and logical.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't think of anything that's totally new. The left brain absolutely has no creativity, and it is not in the present moment. So we end up limiting our sense of destiny.
Right.
Because we're doing it from the left brain instead of just being in the moment and letting something totally appropriate arise in us.
Right. It causes us to identify with being small.
Exactly.
And limited.
And limited, yeah.
Yeah. But there are also ways to transform this, and you talk about that there's a flip side, that we all always are the opposite of what we think anyway, in addition to maybe being the way we think, but we can be both.
And everything else.
Right.
If you want to add it all in.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow, we're not limited at all.
Right. And so, there's a silver lining to any potential limitation anyway. You know, because, for instance, I'm a worrier. I worry about things, and that's linear, and I know, and I'm transforming that. And yet there are times when the distraction of worry creates revelations that I'm amazed at.
Well, think about worry without fear, and what you get
Good.
Is the sense of, in the present moment, that inner perceiver part of your mind, which I just call it that. It's that part that helps us notice what we notice.
Right. That's what you just said is so beautiful, and I really honor that, and it's so helpful to me, too.
Well, you know, if you're not in fear and worrying, then what you're getting is simply an insight in that moment about something you might need to pay attention to.
We'd call it concern, then.
Call it data.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's just data.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, here's something. Let me consider this for a moment.
Right.
How does this fit in? Maybe it's a missing piece of information that I hadn't had
mm-hmm.
that I'm trying to make myself aware of.
It adds to a term in your book called neuroplasticity. So what we're doing is we're creating new form out of the old because we see the limitation in the old.
Right, and we're allowing something very new and innovative to come through that hasn't perhaps existed before.
Right.
That you don't have to have done it before for it to occur in your life.
Sure.
Because you're connected
That's
to everything.
Good.
You know? That
right.
It's so amazing, the potential that we have.
Right, mutation.
And when you allow yourself to create that way, oh, my goodness, it's so exciting and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our depression and our sadness about being alive is that we've resigned ourselves to the idea that we can't create.
And the world is actually pushing us to be fearful of the future because the world is going crazy right now.
Right, and we give it a lot of power because we think it's separate from us.
Right.
You know, is that a lot of the subconscious fears that used to be able to be suppressed are now surfacing so that we can clear them.
Right.
And they're, you know, like flotsam and jetsam. They're just floating all over the place and
right
in the collective consciousness of the media, you know, of, you know, everybody's daily reality. And it looks real, but it's just the clearing of the clutter.
Right, and we have to look at that through this perception of linear versus spherical, holographic.
That's right, yeah.
And see that as this outer world that's creating all of this fear is very linear, and it's a very limited truth.
That's right. And remember that I think we really have to equate the old linear reality with the left brain.
Yes.
It's the dominance of left brain culture, which is the Western world, basically, that causes the linear perception, because Asian cultures are not so steeped in it. I've worked in Japan for lots and lots of years, and I know the difference between Eastern and Western kinds of culture and perception, and yet there's some kind of blending of the two that's coming, you know, where we can use the right and left brain in a more harmonious way, where the right brain is the master, and the left brain is the implementer or servant, rather than the other way around.
Right.
When the left brain thinks it's the boss, it doesn't even want to hear from the right brain. It's silly.
Right, and so that's why people should be picking up a leap of perception. So we're getting near the end of the show, and I want to make sure that people can recognize that what we're talking about is so beautifully described in your book, and can pick that up in the stores. Leap of Perception, the Transforming Power of Your Attention. And your name is spelled in a funny way.
Yes. Yeah, so my website is my name, and it's Penny with an E-Y, and then Pierce with E-I instead of I-E.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I think no matter how you spell it, I think you'll get there.
Oh, good. Yeah, actually, it's nice when Google, for instance, understands that we're making a mistake and
Says,
maybe you thought you should spell it this way or that way. This is so fantastic to talk with you about this, because you have a way of holding this and empowering people that I guess people recognize, since you're so successful at doing it, it's important that you keep on using your words in this world, because we need
them. Thank you. Yeah, I try to make it into common sense, like something you can do, that it's just normal, you know,
right.
And I think it is, actually.
Yeah, your book reads very easily, very comfortably, and it's exciting. There's so many parts of the book that I would imagine my heart was beating faster just because I was having such a good time. And so I want to recommend it to everybody, and I'm sure that a lot of people already know you. As I said earlier, you do have an excellent reputation in the book world, and you travel too, and you do workshops and
help people
out.
Yeah, I'll be out at Kripalu in the fall, and I'm actually moving to the East Coast now in August, so I'll be maybe doing more work on the East Coast.
The Northeast?
No, Florida.
Oh, really? Oh,
places.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So, so who knows what'll happen or why I'm even doing that, but
right.
Flow is dictating it.
Exactly, and we all have to be in that, and it's so great to be guided by the example of your life and your words. And so I'm so grateful that you could be a guest on Energy Stew, and I want to thank you so much. It's so much fun talking with you, and I guess that's a lot of what I feel in reading you also, is that it's uplifting, and it helps me in a great many ways. I've been teaching a lot of this over the years, and yet, you know, we're all out there, and the more that we can feed off of each other, I think the better we...
Well, it is like a big puzzle. With everybody's got a piece of the puzzle, and if we just put them together, you know, we'll see the whole thing, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
So I really think it requires all of us doing whatever comes naturally to us. That's
right.
The way.
Right. So I want to thank you so much. It's a great thrill to talk with you,
and I appreciate the opportunity, Peter. So anytime you want to do another session or
on
any other topics, just let me know.
Oh, good. I'd love to. Thank you. And thanks for being a guest.
Okay.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.